FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is August 8th, 2017. Hard to believe. Time is just slipping by the day, and your retirement is getting closer and closer and closer. And what have you done about it? What are you doing about it? What are you thinking about doing to make it easier, to make it more comfortable, to make it the retirement of your dreams, not the retirement of your nightmares? Well, Michael Eastham of Fellowship Financial Group is with us now. You find him at fellowshipfinancial.com. And if you got any questions about this interview or any others, just send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. Michael, good to have you back on.
It's great to be with you again, Kerry. Thanks so much.
So we're looking at economic growth spending for June, up 0.1%, perhaps indicative of flagging car sales. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I think it definitely reflects a sentiment that, you know, people want to spend. I think they want to be optimistic about the economy and their incomes and all those kinds of things. But when they do a gut check, they're a little bit apprehensive because there's so many uncertainties. They realize the stock market is very, very high. They also look at global and, you know, global environment, but they don't necessarily think about all the details of what's going on. They just kind of, you know, do a gut check and say it just doesn't quite smell right.
Yeah. So are we being had by the government? Is the government trying to tell us that everything is fine and everything isn't fine?
Well, I think the government wants us to believe that it's fine, just, and so does Wall Street, because they want us to jump in. But I mean, as you know, I mean, the simple rule of investing is to buy low and sell high, not the other way around. We're at an all-time high. So it is a little concerning for those people who are just kind of dipping their toes in the water. You want to be careful. I mean, it wouldn't take much to change the economic environment and, as a result, the financial and stock market.
Yeah, no doubt. This would be true. We could see a real correction or even a bear market, whatever that is.
Right.
I mean, many of you out there haven't been alive for a bear market, right?
That's right. Yeah, I haven't seen a big crash.
Yeah, but I know these things happen and happen up until recently with a pretty alarming regularity.
That's right. And I also think, you know, when you talk about the government, I mean, you look at the Federal Reserve, for example. I mean, they've been non-committal on interest rate movement since they started the rate hikes last year. And I mean, you just listen to Janet Yellen. She's tepid about whether or not they're going to change. And it's like every time you read something, the wind's blowing the other direction. And so as a result, you know, there's uncertainty in the leadership on the Federal Reserve side. People are going to do the same thing. They're going to be apprehensive about spending. And so you're going to see consumer spending like we did in June, which is basically flat.
So let me ask you, Michael, do you think that perhaps coming up with the tax cuts and infrastructure plans, if that goes through, it'll help the economy?
Well, I think tax cuts would help a lot from a confidence standpoint. But the problem is, even the tax cuts were predicated on changes in the healthcare law to reduce premiums and those types of things. So cost savings. And so we're not, since that's at least temporarily off the table, or at least it's on the bookshelf, at least for now, tax cuts are going to help. They're going to help businesses. They're going to help individuals become optimistic. But, you know, even the tax cuts are going to be challenging to get through Congress at this point, or at least to get through in the way that the current administration wants to see them happen.
Right. And so what's the answer here for you as an individual, you as an advisor? What are you telling people to do?
Well, I think one of the things that we're talking to clients about is to, you know, if you've been in the market since 2009, then you've had some good experiences, right? The market's gone crazy. So, you know, don't get greedy. Take some of the gains off the table. If you're close to retirement in that retirement red zone that I refer to, the first, you know, the 10 years, that 10-year window between now and retirement, and especially if you're already retired, well, it's time to revisit that strategy and ask yourself, am I investing for growth where there's a little more speculation and risk, or am I investing to earn an income that is predictable based on interest and dividends? And that gives me a lot more confidence to do what you said at the very beginning of this conversation, Carrie, was just to make sure that you've got some certainty in retirement, that your money's going to last as long as you do.
Yeah, and that's a big deal.
Everybody's
worst fear is that they're going to last longer. You're going to last longer than your money.
That's right. I mean, I hear it every day, and it's one of the biggest concerns that baby boomers have. You know, some of the younger generation, they're not really thinking about it because they're 20 to 30 years away from retirement. But I would tell them the same thing. I'd say, just look at where the market is. You know, stock market history tells me that we're likely to have at least one more major correction in the short-term future. And again, you look at the global environment, you know, whether it's political or economic environment, and the United States is kind of the cleanest dirty shirt in the laundry basket, if you will. And so people come here and they look to us for leadership, but as individuals, you still have to be careful, and you have to ask yourself, you know, what are the goals that I have for retirement, and what's the appropriate strategy to accomplish those goals?
Yeah, I think that's a real important thing that you need to do. How often should you do that?
Well, I think it's a regular and ongoing conversation that you need to be evaluating. You need to be having with either yourself or your advisor, of course, or your spouse, just to make sure that you're on the right track. You know, it's important when we meet with clients just to do a review. Sometimes we'll just do it once a year, depending on the individual, but there are other people that like to be hands-on. So having a conversation with them every 3 months or every 6 months just gives them an additional amount of assurance that that we're doing what we need to do in order to support the goals that they have when retirement approaches or in retirement.
Yeah, and retirement winds up approaching a lot faster than you ever thought possible, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It sure does. It just, the time goes by. You know, we're, like you mentioned earlier, we're already, you know, in late summer, August, and the year's just flying by.
Isn't it amazing? And yeah, before you know it, you'll be in that golden age. And myself, I don't ever see myself fully retiring. Semi-retirement sounds like the way to go, but you never know. It's an issue of your health, your energy level. There's a lot of things involved. And just because you're willing to work at age 80 doesn't mean that there's any work out there for you.
That's right. And I think people look at retirement a little bit differently. I mean, I've got a lot of clients that work, but they work because they want to, not because they have to. That's a different definition of retirement. It just means that, you know, you like what you do. You really enjoy it. Maybe you have a business or you just enjoy consulting or doing some part-time stuff. Then that can be very satisfying for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Work, it's giving you the freedom if you plan your retirement right. So you'll work if you want to, not because you have to. And you'll be able to enjoy it all the more.
That's exactly right. And, you know, and enjoy retirement has, again, that has different definitions for other for different people as well. I mean, maybe it means doing a lot of traveling, but it might just mean spending time pursuing a hobby or volunteering at your church or your, you know, in your local community and doing things that that provide just satisfaction. And staying busy, I think, becomes very important when you're in retirement. It's too easy just to retire, sit on the couch, and then life just disappears. You've got to make sure that you're active.
Yeah, you see that with a lot of people. Retire and 2 weeks later, they're gone or 2 months.
Yeah.
They're really sad.
Yeah. But that's why it's so important to define what's important to you about retirement. You know, if you do that early on, then you have something to look forward to when you do step into retirement. But you also have to make sure that once you've defined what those goals are for you in retirement, then you got to make sure that your retirement strategy supports the goals that you have. Too many times I've found that people are speculating too much. They're expecting growth. They're relying too much on growth for the entire amount of their retirement. And they should be reducing their risk to some extent and investing more for income.
Yeah.
That's a more practical way to do it.
Great point. Does real estate figure into this strategy at all for some?
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, it certainly can. I mean, I mentioned working because you want to, not because you have to. I've several clients that enjoy the real estate portfolios that they have. And so that keeps them on their toes, you know, managing a handful of properties, whether they're commercial or residential properties, it certainly can, because that provides income. You know, the nice thing about income is that if you're investing for income on a predictable basis with real estate, for example, look, as long as you have a tenant in there and they're a credible tenant that's paying you rent, well, you've got consistent, predictable cash flow. It's when the tenant stops paying rent that you have to worry about it. You have to figure something out. Well, that's the same thing for a number of different investment vehicles in the income generating world, where they're, you know, you're getting predictable and consistent income.
Right. So yeah, it's effectively another business. Do you do it through REITs or do you do it directly? Really what it comes down to, right?
Right.
To have
exactly.
That income. Assuming it's a well-managed REIT, you recommending to people to do that?
Yeah, I mean, REITs can be a good part of a portfolio, not an overwhelming part. You want to be careful because they're, you know, the real estate market can change pretty quickly, as we experienced in 2008. Mm-hmm. But it can be a good portion of the portfolio, and everybody's different. You know, some people are apprehensive about them because of what happened in the real estate market in 08, 09, but other people are very comfortable with them.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's different ones. And I guess if you're going to do it, you probably want to diversify geographically if it's not a REIT that is itself geographically diversified.
Sure. Both geographically and industry. There are so many different types of REITs that specialize in, whether it's senior healthcare or whether it's government buildings or standalone facilities for professional offices, warehouses. There are several different industries that certain types of REITs can specialize in. And then you have the other layer that's, well, do I want a publicly traded REIT or do I want private REITs? Currently, we tend to favor more the publicly traded because they're more visible. They're more liquid, and that tends to give clients a little bit more, you know, a little more flexibility.
Yeah, if you need to get out, you can get out, right?
Exactly.
So interesting times, and the old cookie cutter strategies just don't work anymore. You need to be thinking seriously outside the box. Michael, I know that people are going to want to contact you, want to check out your website. Where do they find you on the web?
Sure. They can go to fellowshipfinancial.com. That's our website, fellowshipfinancial.com. You can click through there. There's a lot of information. You can, you know, listen to past radio shows. I host a radio program here in the Orlando area, and you can check that out as well. Or you can, you know, take a look at my new book, Common Sense Income Strategies, as well.
Yeah, which I've reviewed, and excellent book. A lot of good techniques there for really taking the edge off of the future uncertainty that you're bound to encounter when you enter that new part of your life. And if you got any questions for Michael and myself, email kl@carrylutz.com. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. The Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz. Michael, always a pleasure to have you on, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Carrie. It's my pleasure, and we'll look forward to it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.